There is a theme that runs through the readings for this 11th Sunday in the ordinary time of the year in the Catholic Church. God frees his people from slavery in Egypt and makes them his personal property. His property, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. We heard that in the first reading. Then in the second reading, this, which was a foretaste, was fully realized when Jesus Christ died to free us from the slavery of sin and open the path of salvation. And so there's that theme again of free, being free, freedom. And we are freed by Jesus Christ and called to announce and communicate that same glorious freedom to all the children of God, especially to those who do not know Christ and wander around like sheep without a shepherd. Oh my. If there's ever been a time since Jesus walked the earth that humanity has wandered around like sheep without a shepherd, all you have to do is take a nice long look at the 5 o'clock news each night. Another theme that begins to kind of run through here is that Jesus has compassion towards those who are astray. Sometimes people think that the church is a clubhouse for those who are holy, and forgets that it is a hospital for sinners. A hospital for sinners. And I am first. In today's gospel, St. Matthew recounts that Jesus was deeply moved when he saw the people, because their pastors at that time, instead of guiding them and tending to them, led them astray, behaving more like wolves than genuine shepherds of their flock. I'm going to pull a Father Mario on you here. Compassion comes from the Latin cum patire, to suffer with. That's patire is a form of suffer, and cum is with, to suffer with, to grieve for something, but to grieve with somebody. It is not a mere sentiment, but something that is manifest in effective work, rooted in the will to do good for another human being. This is the reason why Jesus went about to all the cities in the area of the Judea in search of humankind, mankind, us, we, people, us, to teach, to heal, to save, and yes, on the cross, to sacrifice for them. He also told those who were listening that day that the harvest is plentiful. Well, we still know that, don't we? Now, that harvest is still plentiful, but the laborers are few. And then he goes on. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Well, again, we live in a time when it's awfully difficult to find, especially young men, who will go into the priesthood, and young women who feel a calling for a vocation in a convent, in a sisterhood, in a covenanted community. I have found that this is the one place that I get sort of half crosswise with our blessed Lord and the Catholic Church. Because we're always told, first by Jesus and then by our church, pray for vocations. Well, first off, I'm about half deaf, and I always kept saying, pray for a vacation. Yes, we need to pray for vocations. But we've got to ask as well. And that is where the church often is neglectful. That priests say to young men and young women, in vacation Bible school, in Sunday school, as they're being trained for their sacraments, God needs you. Remember that old advertisement for the United States military, and you had Uncle Sam all dressed up, and Uncle Sam needs you. Jesus needs you. Jesus needs you. And there's never been a time when Jesus hasn't needed his young men and women. Deacon Bob was here last weekend, and he preached at the 9 o'clock Mass. And he said something to the effect that henceforth there was a rule that all the priests on the altar here at St. Cyril's had to have white beards. Because in his retirement, he's let his beard grow as well. And so Father Steve, Father Mario, myself, Deacon Bob, all these long gray beards. Lots of wisdom there. Yeah, well, except for Mario, but lots of wisdom there. But we need youth and vitality and strength. Don't forget, beyond praying for vocations, if you ever get a chance with a young person, have you ever thought about a vocation in the church? If asked often enough, they might just say, yes, I'd like to test my vocation. When Jesus called the 12 to help him carry out his mission of salvation, his mission of liberating humanity from the slavery of sin and acquiring the true freedom which he offers, well, he understood that that was freedom from moral misery. Oh my Jesus. The interior sections of the great cities of the United States. Look at the moral misery. Freedom from sin. And ultimately, from eternal death. We too, by virtue of our baptism, are called to do apostolic works. What does that mean? Apostolic works, to behave like apostles. That's what it means. It's really quite simple. Sometimes the Catholic Church will talk about one group or another as an apostolate or having this apostolic mission. And All we're doing is saying, behave like the apostles. You know, except for that time where they were all arguing about which one was the greatest. Don't behave that way. But do apostolic work. And what is that work? Simply telling others about the love, the grace, and the forgiveness of Jesus of Nazareth. We too, by virtue of our baptism, through which we have become children of God, are called to do God's work in Christ Jesus. That very simply is to bring souls to Christ. St. John Chrysostom, Archbishop of Constantinople from the year 397 to 407, and, as I have been told, a roommate of Father Mario's in seminary, said these words, "The message that is communicated to you is not destined for you alone, but you must transmit it to the whole world. Because I do not send you to 2 cities, or 10, or 20, or even send you to a whole nation, as in the past with the Old Testament prophets, but I send you to earth, to the sea, to the whole world, and to a world indeed very ill disposed. Because by saying, you are the salt of the earth, Christ teaches that men who have lost his taste because of the corruption by sin, and he demands from his disciples those virtues that are most necessary and useful for the care of themselves? No. St. John says, for the care of others. Jesus first sent the 12 to the Jews, but later on, before ascending into heaven, he told them, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Let us remember, though, that the Christian's apostolic zeal, this joy that wells up from within to do the work of an apostle, and that duty is the fruit of our love for our Lord. Saint José María, founder of the movement within the Catholic Church called Opus Dei, said these words, "If you love the Lord, you will necessarily become aware of the blessed burden of souls that need to be brought to God." The blessed burden of souls. The more you love Jesus, the more you see people in this world who need him so desperately. The only important thing is that Christ be announced, known, and loved. He is the one who acts through the apostles of those days in the past and those days today. That's the same concept that St. Augustine expresses when he writes, "We can admonish with the sound of our voice, but if the one who teaches is not inside us, the sound is in vain." Huh? Well, that's real simple, go. If you ain't got Jesus on the inside, you're announcing Jesus over here, and you're talking about Jesus over here and over here and over here.
It's empty. If people can't see Jesus within you.
So I ask you this night, do you feel the blessed burden of souls? Not just mere sentiment, but something which will push me and you to give ourselves more, to forget myself more, and to look for souls. You know, after the 10 years that I have been with you all, even though I didn't talk about politics very often, you didn't have to listen very long to kind of understand where mine were. I see those great cities that have now become vast wastelands of people living on the street, living in a cardboard box, living under a tarp, using the streets as restrooms, leaving the hardware of drug use and abuse in the gutter. And sometimes I look at it from a political point of view. I can't help that. I'm a human being. But dear God, I try so hard to see that underneath that vast wasteland of humanity are human beings, souls that God created, that God loves. I didn't say loved. I said loves. And that God wants back into His flock, into His fold. I try to see that that wasteland is like a great flock of sheep without any shepherds. And so I ask you this night, and I ask myself as much as I ask you, are we truly blessed by the burden of souls who need Jesus? Amen.